I'm sorry that we have to leave this area, but let me take this opportunity to appreciate that all members made an effort to come, even Abu Dhabi on her way. We definitely correct. We were at this time because we are debating our budget vote next week on the 1st of June. And also there are EPs that test it at 10 o'clock. So we have to ask for a special permission to sit today to consider the report of the portfolio committee on the budget vote and the strategy plan of the Department of Transport. We sent this report to members during the recess for purposes of ensuring that by the time we arrive here, we have read the report and then able to comment on it. May I then open for that opportunity?
Involved in any law or yet, because the D-Bank has not been transferred, And that money is being used illegally by this department as opposed to it going into Treasury, which is what it could have been. Now, I don't know how we as a committee can endorse a process like that without actually getting and saying something, that we have to look at that. And really, I would believe that we should put this thing on the moratorium rather than, you know, just on a hold, saying that the department must deal with it. But not appropriate funding to it until the time that we sort out the legislative issue.
What I wanted to say, just to appeal to the other members with regard to RTMC, we've all agreed that RTMC is in big trouble, the minister said so, the department and so forth, and in effect we'd almost be rewarding them for performing badly by giving them additional funds when there were problems with what they were using in the first place. And so that's, I'd like to ask the committee to strongly consider what Honourable Ferrer was saying, that we ask that they, you know, get the housing order first before they consider looking at the additional funds.
Thank you, Chairperson, and sorry for being detailed, but on the topic, Chairperson, I think it might be more certain about in their last presentation, the acting CEO of RTMC mentioned that they've been unable to perform their duties well is because of lack of funding. They don't have the necessary resources to do their work. So I would think that whatever challenges that they have, they need the necessary support. I will not rule out this additional funding. Yes, we can clean, they must clean, they must put their house in order first, but this is necessary because they mentioned it in their presentation that they are inability to do their job is because of lack of funding. I think we need to fund it. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I think we must understand we never got a presentation from them. As a committee, we decided that we did not want to hear the presentation of both RTIA and RTMC at the strategic planning meeting that we held the townhouse itself for the simple reason that we felt that we needed to go and severely scrutinize their role and function. And clearly there is some major discrepancies in terms of what they do, and I don't want to go into them.
I will prepare us to go through them so that we have a common understanding of what challenges are there, so that we can all apply our minds and take a collective decision on what action we are going to take in dealing with the challenges that are facing the RTMC. Also taking into consideration that the RTMC also had the minister intervening to deal with his challenges, and that process is still ongoing because there is a suspension of the CEO. We must unpack all that and then arrive at a decision that says, in view of these conditions, what decisions are we then taking as a portfolio committee? So I would
trust the Honourable Rufai to undertake some of the problems so that, because also we have other members that have not been in the committee for a long time, like Honourable Duma and they have not been part of the committee. And also, we need to have a common understanding and have a common approach as to how we are dealing with the RTM.
I think the most serious effect that we need to have is that when the minister presented the task team report, it was requested that this portfolio committee get the full detailed report in terms of the implications against staff on certain misappropriations. I think, we haven't seen that report, ma'am. I think, first of all, so how do we actually go and hold people accountable as officials, or not officials, but as parliamentarians in this? That is the first point of starting with. The second thing which we raised during that particular presentation was the fact that there were serious charges, criminal charges, which needed to be made against individuals in respect of some of the misappropriations. That has still not, as I understand, been done. So that's the second thing. The third thing is this, that there is not a board there. Now, to not have a board and to spend public funds under that, if you look at the Act, therefore, all those expenditures are in fact illegal. You cannot go and spend money, public money, without an endorsement by the board. That is what the board is there for. They act in a capacity to allow certain expensive things to take place. Now, we know that there has been usage of money which is coming into that agency through the transaction fees for every transaction of vehicle licensing that takes place in this country, with good intention that would be ultimately used to recover the cost of running eNatus. eNatus is still sitting with the department, and yet that money that's coming in has been used to the tune of something like 700 million. Now, that is in the report, and we need to now find out how they're going to pay that money back to Treasury in terms of the agreement that was struck by Treasury and themselves. That's the first thing, because it's actually taking money out of the stream, and instead of it going back into Treasury, it's going into this. So we have a problem there. The second thing is that we, and I say this in the collective, because I don't know whether everybody has seen the report that they did present here, which we never tabled. And in that report, there are clearly aspects of this agency whereby they are undertaking functions which are not mandated to them. Let me just give you an example. They are spending money on putting out Glossy magazine, all right, which is not their mandate. Glossy magazine. Now, for an agency that is so-called technically bankrupt, to go and spend money on that type of expenditure is just nothing else than blatant, wasteful and fruitful expenditure. The second thing is this. There's an employment taking place there of certain traffic officers, which is not being cleared or even ratified by any structure, neither of the department or, for instance, of the board. Let me tell you what the implications of that is. The 240 people that have been employed there as traffic officers, let's call them that, how are they going to operate within the framework of the municipal structure where you've got wall-to-wall municipalities who are employing traffic officers and metros employing traffic officers, and here you have an entity under the RTMC interfacing with those particular people? Where's the jurisdiction? Who's going to be responsible as to where they stop, whether they can go in and traffic infringed people inside a municipality or outside a municipality? These are things, Madam Chair, I think that we need to look at. And if it is an anomaly in any sense in the legislation, we've got to rectify this and put it right. So in order for it to become accountable and to be responsible for expenditure. So I'm just listing a few. But clearly, there's major problems which we need to deal with here.
On the issue of the board, I think that during the presentation by the minister when he was speaking to us, he did mention that at the moment the shame for gap, which is the minister and the MEC, are actually in terms of the act, the act provides that in the absence of the board, those are the people that would then take the decision that are supposed to be taken by the board until such time a board is appointed. So that is according to the act. The act provides for that. So then we would then arrive at a conclusion that says there is no one who is providing governance in the RTMC if we had evidence that the shareholders are actually not taking it. But I am arguing that the shareholders did meet immediately after the last minute. That was held in Devon. Then after the attendance of the minute, there was the shareholders meeting that was held with the shareholders of the RTMC. So that aspect of the governance provided by the act is taken care of. However, that will take away the fact that the RTMC is an entity that is in troubled water. And then we need to deal with that. And also, we need to arrive at a decision that says we are not going to support the financial the budget that they need on the basis of the problem that they are facing with. And my friend tells me that if there was nothing that was done to deal with the problem that are in the RTMC, we would then be justified to say they shouldn't get any funding, they should go short. Because if we are saying they shouldn't get funding, we are saying they should go short. And I still want to hear what is it that we are saying when we are saying they shouldn't get funding. Are we saying they should go short?
I think that this is an agency of the department. If you go into any processes of, be it liquidation or problems that arise in any company organization, what I'm saying is that we should actually give the department the opportunity of administering that particular agency until such time things can be sorted out there, in terms of both management and in terms of both the board. And I just want to say something about the Shareholders Committee, and I agree what you say is fine, but the Shareholders Committee only meets twice a year. And that Shareholders Committee comprises the 9 MECs of the province. Now you know, and I know, it's difficult enough to get boards around the table, but to get MECs around the table, that is a difficulty. And that is why there is a board there to deal with, let's call it the dach, the skip, the things that take place in that agency where they have tenders to be approved, that there is expenditure against a particular budget framework, there's appointments to be appointed. Those are things that are dealt with by the board, not with the shareholders committee. Now, it's that aspect of administrating and managing that organization that is my concern. You can't expect MECs to manage an entity that's got an expenditure of 78 million and wanting a further 92. So I'm just trying to reiterate the different roles that I see between the MECs. And the other thing is this, that you can't hold those MECs to be accountable as you could in a board under the King Commission for anything that might be untoward that takes place whilst they are so-called overseeing that organisation. I mean, you can see the repercussions, which I'm trying to explain. You know, King Street tells you very specifically that the board should be held accountable for it. Now, how do you hold MECs accountable for this rot that's taken place? So what I'm saying is this, that we need to put this thing into intensive care. And for it to go to intensive care, we say to the department, hold that money, put a moratorium on there, sort the thing out. When you've got the thing back in operation in a satisfactory manner, that there's a board in place, that all the problems that have been there inherently have been resolved relating to staffing, relating to suspension, relating to criminal charges, and recourse in terms of the wasteful and fruitful expenditure, then let's move on with this particular thing again. In the interim, we as a committee would then be able to look very, very carefully at the Road Traffic Management Act to see whether in fact there's anything we can do there to make their job easier. That is my approach. I'm not by any means saying kill it, you know. What I'm saying is we should put it into isolation until such time that we can resolve the problem there and then move forward from there. That is my opinion.
Other
disciples?
But
then
you
tell
us, I don't agree with the Honourable Farrell on the fact that you cannot put someone into an ICU without applying medication. How do you expect that person to recover? Then the second thing is that the person who mentioned that immediately after they met, the shareholders met, which means they might have come to some conclusions or resolutions concerning the RTMC. Another thing is that if this is all about the report that the minister didn't provide us with, I think we can ask for that report to come to the portfolio committee. But in the meantime, we cannot write off the RTMC. I think they need the necessary support so that they can be able to stand up and do their job. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Gannett, followed by
I agree with the Honourable Lafayette. We cannot put them in isolation and expect them to correct themselves or do whatever. Why don't we monitor them? After giving them this money, and then monitor them. Yes. See, in such a way that nothing happens to them. But how are they going to make one-on-one if they don't have anything? I really agree we need to be very, very strict with this. But with nothing, how are they going to do it? I think let us monitor them extensively.
I don't think Honourable Farooq is saying that we should not give this entity the additional funds it doesn't appear to us that we are refusing to give this entity the additional funds it needs. If that is the proposal on the table, I want to hear it very clear that the proposal says no, let's not give this entity the additional funds it needs. I hear what the Honourable Father saying there are operational challenges of the entity. The entity is not functioning as it is supposed to function, and it appears to me these are the things that we need to fix. We are agreed that this entity needs the additional funds, but there are certain things that must be fixed. And until we are satisfied that they are fixed, we have a problem of saying let's just leave it without this surety that the problems that exist are being fixed and are not going to return. And my proposal would be, Chair, we need some reporting that indicates that indeed the challenges that are identified are attended to, and we are convinced as a committee that those challenges are being resolved. But if the suggestion is that don't give the entity additional funds, it's a separate debate that I want to make.
Because I also want to ask this in the discussion. I want to give the background information to them. As soon as I ask them of this, as chairperson of the Authority of Transport, the first thing that came to my desk was a big information like this from whistleblower. That information also went to Honorable Farah. That was the first thing that I came across as soon as I asked this question. And in some situations, the whistleblowers identified themselves and I met with them. I then approached the minister and indicated to him that there was a problem with the RTS. And that information came to me before we even interacted with the entity as this committee. Such that in the first meeting where the CEO together with the board was supposed to present to us, was presenting to us the strategic plan of the entity. The purpose of the meeting was to present the strategic plan. Honorable Faro raised the question wanting us to get what had been presented to him. He did not know that it had also been presented to me. But what was the coincidence was that Honorable Father wrote to the minister, making him aware of the problems that he had been made aware of in the RTMC. I did not write. I met with the minister. I met and then, in that meeting, we decided not to discuss the challenges of the RTMC, but just deal with and allow the minister to deal with those problems because we did not want to institute a dual process. Okay. We gave the minister an opportunity to deal with the problems in the RTMC. We then invited the minister at a later stage to come and present to us how he has dealt or how he is dealing with the problems in the RTMC. He presented how he was approaching it and he had instituted an investigation and there was a report that was going to come out of that and all that. Okay. The reason for us not to include the RTMC in the presentation by all the entities was informed by two things. One, there was an acting CEO, which is from the department, who was presenting to us a strategic plan that has not been approved by anyone because there is no board,
and it had also not been seen by the shareholder. And because of that, we could then not deal with the strategic plan that comes from a CEO that is in an acting capacity. Because a strategic plan should be something that the board of that entity as a governing body has agreed to, and then the CEO and the officials in the entity would then implement that strategic plan, which is why in the meeting you would invite the entity and expect that the chairperson of the board and other board members would be present, and then the CEO would also be present, because the CEO and the officials are just implementing what has been approved by the board. But in the RTMC, in the absence of that, and also the fact that the shareholders themselves has not met when we were presented with the strategy plan. But also I want to take a few steps back and say what happened when we were dealing with the budget vote and the strategy plan in 2010. What we also noticed was that the strategic plan of the RTMC kept on changing. So it wasn't only the CEO that was not performing, the board as well was not doing its work, which is why there is no board today. Then, in the department, there is a branch that looks after the entity. And one of the questions that we asked, even when we were interacting with the Auditor General, was a question around the role of that branch in as far as nurturing the entity. Nurturing the entity to its maturity. What support is given by that branch to ensure that if this is a baby pillar given birth by the department, and therefore the department still has a role to play to ensure that that entity performs according to its mandate, and if it has got challenges, the department also intervenes. We ask that question. The second issue is that, which Honorable Faro is bringing up, a very valid point. Has the department taken over to run the entity? Or the entity is still running itself? And that is the question we have no answer to. And also, the reason we did not include the RTMC in the strategy plan was that we wanted to focus now and deal with the RTM. And I did not hear Honorable Faro saying that the RTMC, he will have to correct me if I'm wrong, the RTMC doesn't require funding. I did not hear him saying that. I heard him saying that the RTMC has got serious challenges, governmental challenges, failure to execute its mandate, the wasteful expenditure, because the RTMC also is one of the entities that were caused by SCOP.
we had to go through both. So, what Honorable Fari was saying was that it, correct me, Honorable Fari, if I'm wrong, was that even the inclusion of the RTMC in this report, without pointing out in this report that there are serious problems that we still need to focus on, is actually not the right thing to do. We should be also including in our report that there are challenges in the RTMC, and there, and as a result of that, in this meeting, we should also indicate in this report what is it that we are going to be doing as the portfolio committee to ensure that those challenges are addressed. That is what I have been saying. And he then says, the 92.5 million should be linked to an intervention strategy or a new approach or a turnaround strategy rather than allocating a 92.5 million to an entity that has got challenges and we don't see a corrective measure. That would then justify this. That is what I hear him saying. Before Honorable Ngel, I would want Honorable Fari to say, am I hearing him correctly or not?
I couldn't have summarized it better myself, but I mean, that's clearly what I'm saying. I'm saying that we can't, there's people's lives here. We can't just take their money away. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, that because of the state of affairs of that particular agency, and the fact that we have not even got any strategic direction coming out, that we should be saying to the department who's responsible for that agency, they transfer funds out of the main budget to that agency, that they should take over what, I don't like using the word because it's used in a technical term, but it's like judicial management. Until such time that it's clearly defined its role, its mandate, and where it's going to go to, and how it is going to rectify the current situation vis-a-vis its audit. Now, those are the things that I think are necessary. And all I'm saying is, when I say in isolation, is that we bring it in under the control of the department, whose entity it is, not the department, this parliament. This parliament, what it can do is influence the oversight and the legislation to make it work. But there's an act that says that it has to be there. So by virtue of that act, you can't take its money away. But I'm suggesting, Chair, that the money be held by the department and given and allocated it in accordance with the turnaround strategy, as you quite rightly said, that takes place over a period of time so that we can get that thing back on the road again. That's what I'm saying. And that I think is absolutely our, you know, as a parliamentarian, we have to do those types of initiatives. We can't let it carry on. Otherwise we can be held accountable, never mind the RTMC.
Hey, I'm coming because I wanted to argue a word I heard you say that it should be put in isolation. You can now explain because it was worrying me. How can we isolate it with nothing? Okay, you did explain it anyway.
In fact, it's been like you still breathing.
Yeah.
I think we have already done that. When we said we are not going to take your presentation, we are actually isolating them. We were indicating to them that they have serious challenges, and we also interacted with the minister, directly with the minister, because the minister is in charge of the department. And then what we should be looking at is to prioritize the RTMC so that we can then get a progress report from the minister, and also look at how we would prevent a situation of continuously rewarding an entity that is not functioning well. Because even after that big fight, I still got more information. Can we then find a conclusion to this matter, a way forward?
Yeah, I'd like to leave the wording as it is in that particular paragraph and add to it at the end that it is further recommended that the Department of Transport takes over, I don't know whether that's the right word, the administration of the RTMC until such time that its mandate can be clearly defined and its and the expenditure relating to it dealt with through a I don't think I can say that because we haven't got a board yet. Until this time that a board is in place. But I think that we should time frame. Maybe we shouldn't go into the details, just say that over a certain period the department should look at it. And if we should come back to this committee, if there's any legislation amendment that can make that thing to work. Because maybe there's something in the Act which is restricting it in terms of some of its mandates, and we need to know what that is. Because they keep on indicating clearly to us that they don't, that it's not clearly defined. Particularly, I think it's association with the RTIA. Now, I mean, it's affected by what I'm saying about the Road Traffic Management Corporation is equally affected by that, because you can't implement the Road Traffic Infringement Agency until past time you sort out how the Road Traffic Management Corporation is going to operate. So I'm just suggesting that we put a word in there that recommended that the department takes over judicial management or some other word similar to that, or administration of this entity until such time that we can see a clearly defined time frame for turnaround. Maybe the word.
Are there any other contributions on the issue of the RTMC? There is something that I keep on coming into my mind. I don't know whether it's related to this. When the DG was presenting, there was also an issue about the land transport, and then something else.
National Land Transport Act, the RTA. I think that can I just comment?
Yes.
Is the National Land Transport Act, there is certain responsibilities that need to take place relating to the devolving and empowering of the RTIA to take fines out of a particular metro, which requires the interaction of the department and also the necessary MEC. And this has been one of the problems why the diverse system has not been able to be adequately rolled out. Never mind the problems as to how to collect it and that. But the International Land Transport Act, because it says something to the effect that that needs to be negotiated. And in many of the smaller municipalities where the RTA would take away the revenue stream that would come in from traffic fines and that would go into their coffers, and that would mean that the salaries and the operations of their traffic departments in municipalities and metros would be jeopardized. So that is one of the things that we need to look at rectifying possibly as to how we're going to deal with that. Because you can imagine, you know, a city like Johannesburg where there's a court case taking place at the moment, the sub judice, where they are saying that you can't take away our fines and administer them and keep them when we have to pay our officers and traffic fees. So there is a case against the department. So that is a problem which affects the RTMC and the RTI. I think that's what you and I are thinking about.
That is what I wanted to remind ourselves with, because I remember that also in discussing RTMC, the DG did mention that there is a need for Parliament to review that act because it impacts negatively also on the issue of the RTMC. And the point that I am driving here is that there are two issues in the RTM. There is an issue of incapacity and mismanagement allegations that even resulted with the CEO being suspended and the absence of the board. That is a separate issue, because that is around management and capacity. But there is a legal issue, which is not legal, a legislative issue that affects that impacts negatively on the RTMC executing its mandate and sustaining itself. And I want us to separate those two so that we can even identify our role in terms of the legislative aspect that we need to be dealing with, because the department has also pointed that out, the DG has pointed that out to us, and the minister has also pointed out to the issue of the mismanagement and the capacity and how he dealt with the investigation that he did in relation to that. So there are two separate issues that need to be dealt with. And we would not be doing justice if then in our report we are not also able to point out that there are legislative challenges that are impacting negatively on the RTMC, and then with relate to the institutional arrangements and powers and functions between the RTMC and also the fact that there are municipalities with their own traffic department, and then the collection of revenue and how that is
So I want us to be very, very clear that we are actually dealing with two challenges. There is a challenge of the institution itself and its capacity in terms of management. Effective management, that is a separate issue. And then there is an issue that creates challenges in the RTMC as a result of the legislation and the institutional arrangement of the traffic department, the entity, and how it relates to the municipality's traffic department. And we need to separate those two, and we need to highlight those two separately. And then when we bring in both the department and the department to find a solution, we should be looking at those two separately, so that we don't create an impression that everything that is happening in the RTMC is because of the mismanagement by the individuals that are in the RTMC, because that is not the total situation. The total situation is that as much as that is happening, it is happening in an environment that is not conducive for the RTMC to operate, to execute its money, because of the current legislation and the institutional arrangement, which is our responsibility to sort out. Honorable Father.
Madam Chair, I think you're absolutely right in identifying that. We count towards the matter of the RTIA and the RTMC from each other, for the simple reason is that the revenue streams which should be making RTIA self-sustainable is going to be coming from fines. Now, as you might not know or might know, there was a study, a pilot study taking place when they wanted to implement this demerit under the Infringement Act system in Johannesburg and Twice. Now, that report has not been tabled before us. It was undertaken by the RTMC to see how this agency of it, because it's really they linked very closely with, as you said. And that agency, if you look at the report that has certainly been put forward in the court case against them, there was a summons cost of delivering summonses which came to more than what their budget is. 190 million rand of postal services just to go and issue summonses. So there again, you see, we're sitting with this dilemma. How do we look at the implications of how that thing is going to work and how it is going to be self-sustainable if in fact we have that situation? Because by virtue of an act or amendment to the act, we could be able to change that circumstance. But that is the reality, that you have a report and a pilot project that was meant to come back to the committee and it has not been presented to us yet. And you might hear me many, many times, I don't know how to say it, where is that report? Where are... Now, I know that is out there. The RTMC were mandated to go and bring the results of that report to this portfolio committee. And we haven't seen it. And I think if we can see that, your reality of what you just sketched now, what the situation is, can be really defined. And you can say, yes, that's what needs to be done. No, we need to do that. And I think it's very important we get that report as well. Hence, I would like to see the two agencies, both of them, held in this situation until we can get the department to interrogate and to investigate where those challenges are and how we can sort them out and go forward. Because we all want this thing to work. I'm openly, in debates, I've often said, this is the way to go. We've got so much fatalities on our road. We haven't even, for instance, another problem, which I want to put on the table. One of the main reasons that the RTMC is there to be able to provide clear statistics on road fatalities and deaths. We've never seen a report here at your general office, but I don't know, even before that I was complaining, where are these reports? They need to bring them up annually. Tell you where the hotspots are, where the, so we can strategize around trying to prevent the 14,000 deaths on the committee. So Madam Chair, we've got major challenges with these two things, and I'm just appealing that maybe the right way is to go into isolation and say, let us collectively work with the department to see how we can get these things back on track again. We've got to have it. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But then we can't let them just carry on out there with no direction and no, you know, clear defined strategy to turn it around.
Any comments? But I also think that the link to that is the road accident fund, because the road accident fund is actually dealing with the results and the consequences of a road traffic management corporation that is dysfunctional. And if then, that's how important the RTMC is. Because if you sorted the RTMC, you would then have less problems for the road accident fund. But because the RTMC is forever ailing, you are then caught with a situation of always having to deal with the results and the consequences. And the money that you are spending in the road accident fund should actually be coming down as a result of an effective RTMC. So, all I am saying here is that when bringing to the surface the mandate and the role of the RTMC, you also need to link it to the road accident fund and the situation that the road accident fund finds itself in. But if you reduce the fatal accident, then there will be less work and less claim that will go to the road accident fund. Let us look at how we can insert a paragraph that substitutes. Can you assist us on a substitution?
I just wanted just to finish up the RTMC methods. And it has been wrapped up, has it?
No, I wanted us to assist. Valerie in actually saying what is it that we would want to insert here on the RTMC as an amendment, because we have now debated, we have discussed two issues that relate to the RTMC.
I'll Maybe we can just add or subtract it to the words here. I don't know whether they're correct, but I'll say that at the end of that paragraph there, it is recommended that the Department of Transport take over the administration of the RTMC and RTIA until such time that its mandate can be clearly defined and its management challenges can be addressed. Is that what it is, just a statement? Or maybe we can... Can I just repeat it?
Mm-hmm.
It is recommended that the Department of Transport take over the administration of the RTMC until such time that its mandate can be clearly defined, redefined, and management challenges can be addressed. Now that management could mean the appointment of boards and all the other related matters in terms of the Act. So that should not happen.
In that way, we are not taking a decision for them, but we are asking them to consider doing that. And then there was an issue of the RTIA. Can we include that as well?
Taking over, maybe you should put the administration, is that not the right
way? Yes. Okay.
both mandates, if both mandates were in conflict, would anyone see that? And they have a particular task. You might have to go back and do some amendments to the act that we need to tell us about. Okay, maybe we should put mandates under the act. Under the respective act.
Because if we are not clear enough, some people may conclude that we are saying that they are mandates. Yes. Whereas we are not saying so, we are saying they are mandates. But to the legislation that gives them the mandate, it wasn't to be set up. Can we then, are we happy now with the RTM? Can we then move forward? Where is the report for? Going to a report for? More for? Now that we need it to, because we need it to be clear with what it is that we are saying, because in the beginning, getting us on here, it was as if we're talking about non-funding, but through the engagement we have come to a common understanding as to what it is. The issue is not the budget, the issue is the other one. You wanted to say something on that person? When we had concluded this one, and we are done with this one now.
May I bring up another article? Just to explain before I explain it, that, you know, we're a multi-party committee, as you know, and in the DA, as another other party, is we debate each budget in our caucus. And between, in our example, in the transport case, Honourable Ferrer and I then sit and workshop the budget too, and then present the case to our caucus. And so my concern is on the last page where it says that at the conclusion, the committee recommends the budget be passed. We're not at that stage yet. Honourable Ferrer and I are still going through it and discussing it. But I'd like to ask if I may humbly ask the committee that instead of the part that be considered, because at the moment in our case we're still considering it. We're not at a stage we can say we can pass it. If we could just instead ask to be considered, and then at the later stage, either at our debate or at the division of revenue, we'll then come to the conclusion. Thank you.
We have different ways of what church
No. No. What happens in the portfolio committee is how we invite it. And if the DA in the portfolio committee is opposed to that, he has also the right to say so, in the same way that they do in the House. But we can't not conclude on the matter in a portfolio committee. this is the day on which we are concluding on the matter because we are debating next week.
Well, next question will ask that something be put on the DI component in before considering it for some thing. But I'm very nervous at this stage because we haven't made a decision yet and we haven't gone to our caucus yet.
Thank you, Sir President. I don't understand the TA after a long or lengthy discussion why it's not going to consider this because they are here on behalf of their caucus. So I should think after this lengthy discussion we have concluded all this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. When I think of the CAMF, that remains the focus of the CA. It does not affect an health community. And therefore, Chair, propose that we leave this FDA. And put on record that the DA presents the virus request go back to COCA, finalize that letter in the court, participate in the debate, whether in support or not. But surely they would have then touched base in the COCA. But insofar as probably the end is concerned, we feel indeed should be able to come to some form of resolve that indeed the budget should be passed. So this aspect of focus is being concerned that the people be able to be given space to advance with COCAT and all.
No problem with that, on condition that it's stated in the report that we reserve our position until we made a decision. So as long as it's stated in the report, and we're part of the committee, at the moment it's a committee in this meeting. So as long as it's in the report that it says we're reserving our position, then that's no problem with that. Thank you.
Okay. No. What we are doing today cannot be. The purpose of this meeting is to actually discuss this report and pass at the committee level the budget so that in the House when we are debating we would then be recommended that the parliament passes the vote, the budget vote. And the process of arriving at that, which is we pass this in the portfolio committee or not, is not which is their vote if there are different opinions.
If I make this correct in the process is actually each committee passes a report on this budget. So we're passing a report. And I'm happy to then agree with the passing report that this on page 12 says that we recommend that we pass the budget. So there's a totally different process. The budget gets passed in the House. There's a division of revenue we need to get the end of the process. And after the debate happens. So if you I mean, I think we're agreeing, but what the report is saying is that if you're not passing the report, it's not passing the budget. And we're not in a position to do so. So I'm quite happy to support, and I'm sure my honourable member Sarah is willing to support the report. We're not opposing the report. What this comment is again, the conclusion is it's passing the budget. And those are two different items. So if the report stands as it says it's passing the budget, then I'd like it to say that we deserve our position. If it gets changed to say we're passing the report, then absolutely we'll support it. We'll be supporting the committee. Thank you.
agree, probably we may just want to make an amendment. We the committee recommend that the report be passed. It was in any event. The report is voted to be true by the school. The budget will be clearly passed. That's my answer.
I'm hearing Honourable Professor saying that we are empty schools, passing the report. In fact, I'm hearing Honourable Professor saying, and I'm hearing Honourable Manana saying, as this committee, we are recommending to the House to pass them in number 220. My understanding is that we pass their report as this committee because this is our.
Able then to use this report, which we inevitably speak to the budget. So I'm agreeing that indeed we may adopt the report here and not recommend and script the recommendation or amend the recommendation that has the budget and allow that process to take place next week to the board.
My Chairperson, I don't know what am I going to say here is the same with the whip. What I was trying to say, Chairperson, when we are passing the report, the budget also is in the report. So we cannot exclude the budget from the report because it's in the report. If we are passing the report, we are also passing the budget vote also. So I don't know why we have to exclude the budget vote, because the budget is in the report. If we are passing the report, we are also passing the budget. Thank you.
I disagree with you, Honourable. It has closed this matter. It has closed. We are not passing the budget.
Madam Chair, if I just might support Honourable Manana's recommendation.
In terms of the process, we will need a person to move for the adoption of the report and the presence of the adoption. Before we come to that, is there anything that you wanted to highlight to us, you have your own report here.
Yeah, but the report, I mean, mine is an analysis of the fact that not the report, they have to get up to
that. Okay,
all right.
Very good.
Thank you.
Can we then have a mobile for the adoption of the report? Honourable Manana moves for the adoption.
Madam Chair, second.
Honourable Professor Zakon, thank you very much. I declare the arrival from the
Thank you.
You must join it.
Thank you.